Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I have an excuse. I'm going to give you my excuse, Tim Staples. Tim Staples here this hour. Next hour, Mark Brumley. Both hours, open forum. Call up and ask whatever you want. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. I did not know until it was too late that you were doing the show today.
Ah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do, because I was waiting for a Budweiser.
Yes, and I got a six-pack of Budweiser, I don't know if they drank that already, but I promised a case of Budweiser the next time you were on the show.
Yes.
And I didn't know you were coming today. So like 5 minutes before, I was like, I can't go anywhere. I don't have time to even get in the car. So next time.
Next time.
Next time you'll get your Budweiser.
Now, you might want to explain to folks what you're
why I'm giving you Budweiser, yes. Because in on our pledge drive, Tim kept asking if there was... No, he didn't ask. He said, there is someone out there who can... And then he asked, would that person give $10,000? And a gentleman, Ted, I believe was his name, if I'm remembering right, Ted, I think, who worked for Anheuser-Busch, gave Tim that $10,000 for our pledge drive, which was huge for us. And he also said that next time Tim has a beer, he should have a Budweiser. So
that's right.
I said I'd get a case of Budweiser for the staff and Tim next time he was on. And then now he's here and I don't have it. But I didn't know that.
And you know what, Si? I know we don't have all the final numbers in, but what a drive. I just wanted to thank everybody because folks responded. You know, after being down the last drive before this one, I mean, the folks really came through, didn't they?
Boy, did they.
I mean, God bless you all. Thank you all for giving.
I knew they were. I wasn't nervous at all. Well, okay, I was a little nervous. But it was, boy, it sure was gratifying and encouraging. 888-318-7884, the number 888-318-7884. It's open forum. You can ask Tim whatever you like. By the way, if you're not a Christian or not a Catholic in particular, and you have a question about the Bible, about Jesus, about morality, about you're welcome to call. We want anybody who's got a question to call. And of course, if you're a Catholic, you're also welcome. 888-318-7884. Let's start with Travis in Michigan.
Yes.
Watching on YouTube. Travis, thanks for starting us off. Go ahead with your question for Tim.
Hi, Si and Tim.
Hi, Travis.
Thanks for taking my call.
Welcome.
Tim, I just want to also thank you for your previous answer. I called in during Holy Week about marriage, and you really helped me out. You kind of sent me to confession.
All right.
Because I had to, but it's confirmed
at
the Easter Vigil.
Oh, praise God.
It was a wonderful, wonderful evening, I and my fiance. I have one quick request for you guys. My wife is watching, or my fiance, I should say. Saturday is her birthday, and I was wondering if you guys could wish her a very happy birthday. I'm sure it would.
And what is her name?
Both of us. Anne.
Anne? Happy birthday, Anne.
And I will do it for $5.
Yeah.
So, Travis.
He'll do it for a Budweiser, too.
Or a Budweiser, yeah.
I'll tell you what.
No, I'm just kidding, Travis. Guys... Happy birthday, Anne. Happy birthday. You're all grown up now. Mm. I don't know how old Anne is, but.
And congratulations, on the upcoming. Big date, right?
Yes, we're going to be planning something. I'm not sure exactly when, but hopefully soon.
So not only is it a happy birthday to Anne, but also a congratulations to Anne and to Travis.
Yes.
All right, so what's on your mind, brother?
Yes, well, thank you. It's actually her question. She used to watch, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the show called I Am Jazz.
No, I'm not.
A young boy whose parents had him in therapy when he was 2 years old, and he decided then that he wanted to not be a male anymore.
Oh, no.
And he's gone through the surgeries, and he's in his 20s now.
So it's like a reality show. It's not a drama or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, no, it's not a drama. It's a reality show.
Yeah.
It actually happened. He's gone through all the surgeries, went from male to female. I'll
tragedy.
Call him a he, though, because
that's
what he was.
That's what he is.
But I was just wondering.
Yes.
Yeah. We were wondering what kind of culpability would he have? Like, if he were to, because his life is basically ruined right now. The surgeries were bad. And
Sure.
Oh, that's so awful.
It really is. And it's an important question. Unfortunately, this is a question that's being asked more and more. And of course, we understand in the church that the church in her wisdom gives us the age of accountability as 7. So this young child obviously would have 0 culpability. He was mutilated, unfortunately. If there's culpability, of course, it's not with him. The parents, now, of course, we leave the judging ultimately to God. And what we say, Travis, is on the objective level, what they did was to mutilate this child. And so on the objective level, that's grave matter. But, you know, in this day and age that we are living in of such darkness and confusion, you know, again, this is just another reason why, Si, right? We leave the judging to God.
Right. Yeah.
As far as culpability goes, we say on the objective level, yes, that's grave matter. You have done incredible damage. But you know, in our culture where we have people being propagandized now from elementary school, can you only imagine if things continue the way they are, the people we're going to be producing, you know, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, who have no idea what a human being is. You know, there's no morality whatsoever being taught in many of these schools. It's amorality. You create your morality from the time you're 2, right,
yeah,
Si?
I mean,
you decide. And it's absolutely awful, Travis. But you know what? At the same time, you know, we said this, maybe you heard us, Travis, during the drive on multiple occasions. But when you have this level of darkness that we have, this demonic transgenderism, as Pope Francis has rightly called it, it is demonic, the attempt to change the divine order or the natural order established by God. That's why I referred to it as the divine order, because it's established by God, and to make it into something else. I mean, that is ultimately Satan, right? In Jeremiah 2:20, he famously says, you know, through the king of Babylon, non serviam, I will not serve. He wants to establish his own kingdom with his own rules, right? And that's what we're doing here as a culture. And when you reject God's law, God's order, you're reduced to chaos and confusion, and that's where we're at. So, brother, it's a great question. It's an important question. And I hope and pray that we can bring some sanity back to this culture. There are some good signs right now, Travis, that sanity is beginning to gain somewhat of a foothold, you know, with regard to Roe v. Wade and the life issue. You know, it's a battle out there culturally, but we will continue to shine the light, Travis, of the truth, you know, to tell people, yes, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 still applies. Male and female, he created them. Follow the science, my friends, and you'll have so much more peace in your life. Follow Jesus for ultimate peace. God bless you, brother.
Travis, thanks very, very much. It's horrifying to think how this culture of individual liberation is just left a trail of children's lives destroyed.
Destroyed.
Just a massive trail of children's lives.
It's so evil.
Yeah.
You know, that 2-year-old had no choice in the matter.
No.
You know, and now
they probably said what any 2-year-old, I mean,
of course.
2-year-olds say 2-year-old stuff.
Yeah, and they say, yes, mommy.
Right.
And yes, daddy.
But they turn that into an industry now.
Oh, gosh. The money involved now, here we go, right?
Yeah.
Down that murky path where then, when you're like we are standing on the side of sanity saying, you know, male and female, he created them, you become the evil one in this, this culture.
You're a hater.
Fair is foul is fair, as Shakespeare said it, right?
Right. We'll take a quick break, right back with more Open Forum for Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live.
We're here for you. Call now, Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Underwriting support provided by Homeschool Connections. Homeschool Connections hosts the Catholic Homeschool Conference. The 2022 Catholic Homeschool Conference is June 10th through 11th, and the website is catholichomeschoolconference.com. That's catholichomeschoolconference.com.
Hi, I'm Kristalina Everett, and I am so blessed to have a great new show on EWTN Radio. It's called Women Made New, where women help women get closer to God. Through honest conversations with our guests about the challenges we face in our lives, we're reminded that no matter what mistakes we've made, it's never too late to start over when we receive healing from the God who makes all things new. That's Women Made New every Saturday at 12 noon Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It's open forum. You can call and ask whatever you'd like, 888-318-7884. We just did an episode of Catholic Answers Focus on the Cristeros for Cinco de Mayo, and it got a lot of great response. And I mentioned that just to invite you to check out our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus. You can do so the easiest way to do it is just go to our website, CatholicAnswersFocus.com, and check it out there. And it gives you all these click-throughs. You can go to wherever you get your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or whatever, or you can go to YouTube. So we've got it out there in all those different ways, and we'd love it if you would be part of Catholic Answers Focus by subscribing. You can just anytime you want, just check out CatholicAnswersFocus.com, and new episodes weekly, sometimes more than once a week. Tim Staples is our guest. Tim, the author of Behold Your Mother, a biblical and historical defense of the Marian doctrines, among many other things. And up next with a question is Frank in New York. Frank, thanks for calling. Go ahead with your question for Tim.
Thank you, gentlemen. God bless you both.
You too. Thank you, Frank.
I always love Tim Staples. I want to try to shed a little bit more light on the darkness of our society. And it involves the Protestants' false notion of justification.
Okay.
Now, they teach that when a man is justified, it merely changes the man's status before the Lord, but it doesn't change his nature.
Right.
It does not change him interiorly.
Right.
It's like a courtroom decree.
Yes.
And yet they say it saves him.
Mm-hmm.
That's an impossibility. Luther said justification is the article of faith upon which the church rises or falls.
Yes.
And the Protestants got it dead wrong.
Yes.
They believe that it remains, it's an alien righteousness of Christ.
Yes.
That remains on the outside of a person.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't inhere in him.
Right.
Grace is not infused inside of him. Therefore, it's not up to them to maintain it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the false doctrine of eternal security.
So
you got teachers like John MacArthur,
yeah.
John Piper, Erwin Lutzer, the late R.C. Sproul, who have...
right.
The ones who are still alive, these evangelicals are still teaching this. It's a false gospel.
Sure it is.
And I want to know, please, that the Catholic Church, I know the Catholic Church called it a legal fiction, a Trent. They should expose this because a lot of people are going to wind up in hell believing a false gospel. So what do you think, fellas?
Well, Frank, yes, we as Catholics have been exposing this for the last 500 years, my friend, and you're absolutely right. Now, of course, in their defense, the Protestant would say that sanctification is a process that follows justification, and even Luther, who early on, you know, said some pretty radical things like, you know, I could commit murders and adulteries 100 times in a day, and it would not affect my standing with God. But even he, you know, developed his understanding of sanctification, and that if a person is truly transformed by Christ, truly born again, then they will want to live for him. And if they do not, then that's a sign they were never justified to start with. So, Frank, they do have, not that that's a saving grace, because it's still a heresy, it's still a false doctrine, as you said, that justification by faith alone is is absolutely contrary. And, you know, the amazing thing is that you have such biblical texts, as you know, Frank, that I argue you can't get any more plain than to say, for example, in James chapter 2, verse 24, St. James says, we see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. I mean, my goodness, if this is the doctrine upon which the church rises or falls, don't you think James would have been a little hesitant to say something like that, right? We're justified by works and not by faith alone. Or Jesus in Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. And notice in Matthew 12, 36, Jesus is speaking in the context of the final judgment. And he says, each man will answer for each and every idle word he has spoken. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Words is not faith alone. This is something that you do. You're going to be judged in accordance with every word you have spoken, and it's by your words you're justified. That's not faith alone. And we could go on and on how plain the biblical texts are that tell us things like Romans chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. God will render each man according to his works, right? God will reward each man according to his works. To him who continues in good works, his reward shall be glory and corruption and eternal life. Eternal life is a reward for good works, according to St. Paul in Romans 2, verses 6 and 7, or Romans chapter, or I should say Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, be not deceived, God is not mocked, says St. Paul. Whatsoever a man sows, now, sowing, that's sowing seeds. That's something you do,
yeah, right?
Right. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. If he continues to sow to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap death. If he continues to sow to the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And then notice, keep reading there, verses 8 and 9. Let us not then grow weary in well-doing, for we know we will reap the reward. What reward? He just said, eternal life, if we faint not. So, you know, we could go on, Matthew 25, 31 through 46, the final judgment of Jesus, and so many examples. This doctrine is a dangerous doctrine, justification by faith alone, no doubt, because it gives a false sense of security that says, you know, as John Calvin taught, Frank, and I know you know this, that when you come to Jesus, your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. They are all gone. How dangerous is that, Cy Kellett, when the Bible again in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says, if any man says he has no sin, he is a liar and the truth is not in him. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. How does that fit? It doesn't. You see, we have to do something. We have to confess in order to be forgiven. Or what about Matthew chapter 6, verse 14? This is the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, if you do not forgive your neighbor his trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. Well, wait a minute. I'm born again, man. All my sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. Jesus must be confused, Cy.
Yeah.
Why
apparently.
Would he say something like that? Well, Frank, you know, you're right. This is a dangerous false teaching, and the Catholic Church has been exposing it as such for 500 years, and we will continue to do so.
Thanks, Frank. Going to move to San Antonio, Texas now. Mike in San Antonio, you are up next. Mike, go ahead with your question.
Hey, Tim. My name is Mike.
Yes.
So my question here is, I guess, the morality behind marijuana use. So, you know, we have alcohol, and you, like, you know, with moderation, alcohol is permitted.
Yes.
Until you get drunk, then it becomes a sin.
Correct.
So I've always kind of thought, well, you know, you can smoke weed. If you build tolerance, you won't get high until you smoke enough of it. So you could have the same mindset, and then, you know, everyone says it's healthier. And then you can get into the debate of whether it's legal or not legal.
Right.
But I'm trying to, you know, figure just from a straight morality standpoint, like a church teaching, kind of removing politics.
Right.
what would be like, I know that there's church teaching on like drugs
sure.
in general.
Yes.
All right. Well,
I guess,
so what's the teaching on marijuana, Mike?
Yeah. Right. Well, the teaching on marijuana is a species, a subset of the genus, right? The teaching against drugs in general. And marijuana, I know there are some folks who argue, and I'm just sorry. I had a past, okay, unfortunately. And I'm not proud of this, but I used that stuff years ago, many years ago. And those who say, well, you can just smoke a little bit and you're fine, that is a load of garbage. There is no such, especially now. And I was doing that stuff 40 years ago. The marijuana that's on the market now is something like 10 times more potent yeah. than what was going around 45 years ago and such. So, I mean, those who argue that, well, you know, you can just smoke a little bit are in dreamland, you know. And that's, I think it's very dangerous because this is the mentality that puts people behind the steering wheel of a car after just, well, I just smoked one joint.
Yeah.
Your reflex, see, what makes either being drunk or using these illicit drugs so gravely evil, as the Catechism of the Catholic Church, section 2291 says, and elsewhere in the Catechism, is because it impedes the very thing that makes us human, right? It is our intellect and will that separates us from the animals, right? We go all the way back to Genesis, my friend, and I know you know this. When God and Adam look over all the animals trying to find one fit for Adam, there's none fit, right? And why is that? What is it about man that's different? St. Thomas Aquinas tells us it's not the body, because the animals had bodies. What is it that is different? And that is the soul. We're created in the image and likeness of God. That is, we have a rational soul, the power of the intellect and the will. And for the life of me, those who would want to argue that it's morally okay to take a substance that is going to purposely weaken your will and diminish your intellectual faculty is absurd. Because that's what happens when you get drunk or you use these drugs. And you know what happens when you get really drunk or if you take these drugs and your intellect becomes dulled, it becomes weakened, the will becomes weakened, but the intellect becomes dulled down, you do things that you normally don't do. You wake up the next day and go, oh, I can't believe I yeah. did that. Now, why does that happen? Because you've diminished something so important to the human person. It is what makes us, in a sense, a human person. So that's why the church has always condemned the use of drugs, as, again, the Catechism, section 2291 says, except on strictly therapeutic grounds. There are grounds for using, you know, various drugs for various therapeutic reasons, then that has to be strictly monitored by a doctor. And of course, in a culture that tells you you can do all sorts of things on therapeutic grounds, we have to keep an ear to the church as well, because we have to be sure that the object of our action is always morally okay. Because if we're talking about doing something that's intrinsically evil, we can't do it in any circumstance. But when it comes to drugs, there can be therapeutic grounds. But in general, the use of these drugs is, we're talking about grave matter, and for very good reason.
Mike, thanks very much for that call and for that question. I'm going to go to Al now in Sacramento, California, listening on Catholic.com. Al, go ahead with your question for Tim.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you so much for taking my call. It's an honor to speak to you both. About 37 years ago, my wife and I got married. Unbeknownst to me, she had had an abortion before we got married. I didn't learn about it until 10 years into our marriage, but it was a Catholic marriage, two priests, San Diego Mission. It was a full Catholic wedding. And so now she's filed for divorce. We're now divorced. I'm going right through the annulment process. And my understanding is if you have an abortion, you're automatically excommunicated. Is that correct?
Correct.
And if she was automatically excommunicated before we got married in the Catholic Church, mm-hmm. was that then no longer not a valid marriage?
Well, it certainly would have to be taken into account by the tribunal because, yeah, if—and you say you just found out, so your ex-wife kept that information from you?
She kept it from me for 10 years. When I had a conversion after a Marian experience and I came back to confession, right. And I encouraged her to do the same, she had confessed that abortion to our priest, and he— okay. encouraged her to tell me because she had not yet told me. It was 10 years into our marriage.
Right.
So I stuck it through in the wedding, in the marriage, because I had two daughters and I promised to God I was going to get married and I was serious about it.
Well, Al, hang on. Yeah. We got to get an answer for you right after the break.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, this is a delicate moment, but we have to take this break and we'll do it right after this.
Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It's Open Forum. Tim Staples this hour, next hour. Mark Brumley will be here taking all calls. Anybody, whether you're Catholic or not, whether you're Christian or not, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Al was just explaining his marital situation and yes. including the fact that his wife had an abortion before they were married and then he didn't find out about it until within the marriage. And how does this all affect the validity of their marriage?
Sure. And it's remarkably frequent in our day and age that these things happen. It's one of the unfortunate byproducts of the culture of death in which we live. And so, you know, this case is it's definitely an interesting case because your wife confessed it, was forgiven. And of course, as you know, in the church has become very lenient, as Pope Francis, you know, gave faculties to any priest to absolve this sin that at one time was reserved to the Holy See. So in this case, even though this would be a factor for the tribunal, definitely they need to know that your ex-wife was holding back on information like this because that can contribute. Wouldn't be a definitive factor necessarily. There's a lot more questions that would have to be asked by the tribunal. We don't litigate these things over the the airwaves. That's way beyond our pay scales here as apologists at Catholic Answers. But just so you know, that would be a factor, but also the fact that she was reconciled, went to confession, and you remain married. That's also a factor as well. The healing restoration that happens there. So all of that will be a part and parcel of what the tribunal will deal with. And of course, the bishop will have the final say on. So we can't go any deeper than that here at Catholic Answers. We can't litigate those things because that's why we have bishops, and we have one reason why we have tribunals as well. But thanks so much. We will certainly pray for you, Al, in your situation.
Thank you, Al. Going now to an anonymous caller right here in California watching on YouTube. Anonymous, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Tim.
Thank you, Cy and Tim. God bless you both. So regarding Archbishop Gomez's USCCB request to pray and fast tomorrow, as well as along with all the bishops in the United States for Catholics here in the United States, is the fasting regimen tomorrow parallel or the same as Ash Wednesday and Good Friday's regimen protocol for fasting?
Not unless Archbishop Gomez stipulated that, because generally speaking, when the bishop encourages us or Jesus encourages us to fast, there's not a definitive rule. So we can fast in the way that fits our spirituality and such, according to, if you have dietary issues and all of that. So generally speaking, when a bishop asks you to fast, it's going to be along those lines. Now, of course, he could stipulate, but as far as we saw, he didn't stipulate the particular kind of fast, just that we fast. And God bless Archbishop Gomez for asking for prayer and fasting because, man, I know Mark chapter 9, verse 29, scripture scholars tell us that the end fasting part was not part of the original. Right? This kind cometh not out except by much prayer and fasting. The end fasting was added, but guess what? That's added by a good Catholic because that's our tradition.
Yeah.
We need prayer and fasting at a time like this. So thank you for your question, because I think we need to encourage everyone to pray and fast tomorrow. Because it's an understatement to say that the consequences that are involved here are enormous when we're talking about the possible overturning of Roe v. Wade, and who knows how many, if 63 million babies have been murdered as a result of two horribly argued, horribly written decisions of the Supreme Court in Roe v. Wade and Doe versus Bolton, two of the worst decisions in the history, I would argue the worst in the history of the court, to result in the slaughter of 63 million innocent human beings. The reversal, now granted, this is not reversing abortion, it's sending back to the states if this happens, but you already have numerous states that have automatic laws that will kick into gear. I want to say 16 states, am I right?
I had heard that it was 26, but
26?
But I think that's all, not all of those are absolute bans, but all of them have laws that will come into effect.
Yeah, I think it's 13 or 16 that have close to absolute bans.
Good.
And then there's more that have these various levels. But, praise God, because one thing is clear, a number of children who would have died are going to have a chance at life if this happens, and that is a good thing. So let's pray and fast as the good Archbishop asked us to.
Get to what you needed, Anonymous?
Yeah, just real quick. So I know it's extolled by Catholics on Fridays in general to abstain from meat. Just a quick technical question.
Sure.
Regarding the abstinence from meat and fasting, are they generally synonymous? I know they have separate meetings, but when a bishop says to fast, does he also say to abstain from meat?
No, they are distinct. Yeah, to abstain from meats as we do during Lent is essentially different than fasting. So you're talking about abstaining from meat versus fasting, meaning not eating at all. Now, it doesn't mean, as the law of the church says, you have one meal and then some food in the morning and evening is what Pope St. Paul VI said. And I know a committee of the American bishops have kind of a good little rule of thumb. It's not binding, but I kind of like it because for me it makes it easy to have one full meal and then two meals that don't add up to one meal.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a good rule of thumb. That, again, is not legally binding, but it's kind of a what the American bishops recommended as a model for the fast. But, you know, you can fast on bread and water. You can fast on water alone. You can really do the fast however you want to. But no, prayer, or I should say abstaining and fasting are essentially different categories.
Anonymous, I'm really grateful for you bringing this up because it's wonderful to have the opportunity to share it with people that the U.S. Catholic bishops, through their president, Archbishop Gomez, has asked people to fast and pray the rosary tomorrow for healing in the country over this issue of abortion. Yep. And I know you called as an anonymous, but if you want, I'd love to send you a free copy of Tim's book, Behold Your Mother, just to say thanks for you bringing that to everybody's attention. But just hang on the line and... Edgar will get your information if you'd like that book. Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines. I'm going to go to Lafayette, Louisiana now. David, listening on KLST Radio. David, go ahead with your question for Tim Staples.
Good afternoon, gents. In the recent gospel where Jesus initiated the sacrament of reconciliation, I've been a little bit confused about the wording, whose sins you retain, they are retained.
Yes.
What does that mean, retained? How would a priest determine what is retained and what happens to those retained sins?
Yes. Great question, my friend. And I recommend check out the Catechism of the Catholic Church, section 1445. There's a great, just one little paragraph there that really nails it on this question. What does the word, and it focuses in on the binding and loosing aspect really, really well. But here, the bottom line is, when Jesus, I think if you back up to verse 21 there, the beginning, we're talking about John chapter 20, verses 21 through 23, when Jesus, you know, breathed on the apostles and said, whosoever sins you forgive. Well, he starts... Or St. John starts by, you know, Jesus saying, as the Father has sent me, so do I send you. And I think those are some of the most important words that often are left out of the conversation. What did the Father send Jesus to do? Well, one very important thing is to forgive sins, as he did the paralytic, you know, in Matthew 9, verses 2 through 6, right? I forgive you of your sins. And so Jesus is giving that same power to the apostles to forgive sins. So as the Father sent me, so do I send you. Breathe on them, said, receive the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you forgive are forgiven, right? So that's pretty easy. We know that then the apostles were given the power to forgive sins, just as Jesus did in, for example, I mentioned Matthew 9, 2 through 6, but there are other places. Now, as far as the retention goes, that becomes really important because we have to understand that the sacrament does not work as like a magic wand, right? There is required, there are some things required in order for the sacrament to be effective, and it's actually built right into John 20, 21 through 23, right? For example, the auricular confession part, because the verse doesn't make sense unless the person first confesses their sins, because obviously the apostle here and their successors have to make a decision. They have to hear and then decide, I will absolve you of your sins. It's say, I absolve you of your sins. And they have to make another decision whether to retain those. Now, why would they retain those sins? Well, let's say a person comes into confession and says, you know, I've broken the sixth commandment, Father. I fell into an adulterous affair. And then the priest would be required, if the penitent does not say it, the priest should say, are you sorry? You know, are you sorry and have you turned away from this sin? Well, if that fellow says, well, no, not quite. I mean, can you hurry up and absolve me? Because actually she's waiting for me out in the car here. We've got a date tonight. Well, then Father would be required to retain that sin. He would have to say to that penitent, I cannot absolve you because you are not sorry for your sins. And so that is an example of where the priest would have to retain sin. So if the priest gains the knowledge that the person is actually not sorry for their sins, that's when they would retain it. Now, of course, there's a lot of ancillary questions that come up. Well, what if the guy's lying? He says he's sorry, but he's really not. Well, look, you can fool the priest, but you can't fool God. If there is no repentance and a true turning away from the sin, the sacrament is ineffectual because, of course, you can fool the priest, but you can't fool God. If there's no true repentance, and that's why I said at the outset, the sacrament doesn't work like a magic wand, right? There is repentance required in order for the sacrament to be effective. But does that get at your question?
Yeah, I think that helps quite a bit, especially just that simple example kind of helps put it in perspective. That word retained always was kind of confusing to me, but I get it now.
God bless
Thanks,
you, David.
Brother. Got to take a quick break. Right back with more Open Forum with Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, this is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Keep your dial tuned to Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting by Great Catholic Music.
Great Catholic Music, your one-of-a-kind streaming platform for traditional Catholic hymns and contemporary favorites 24 hours a day. Music that soothes the soul, that's safe for the whole family to listen to. What a relief. Great Catholic Music. Download the free mobile app or listen on any Alexa-enabled device or write from your PC or tablet at greatcatholicmusic.com. Great Catholic Music, melodies for the soul.
He is honored by the Church as one of the greatest enemies of clergy sexual abuse.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
In his time, St. Peter Damian fought against the many vices of contemporary clergy, especially sexual abuses among the clergy. In 1051, he wrote the Book of Gomorrah that is still considered essential reading for fighting abuse today. He died in 1072.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest this hour is Tim Staples. Next hour, Mark Brumley will be here, president of Ignatius Press, answering your questions. And anybody can call, whether you're Catholic or not, whether you're Christian or not. If you have a question about Jesus or the Bible or the sacraments or anything else, moral question, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. We're going to go to Marcus now in Wilmore, Kentucky, watching on YouTube. Marcus, you there with us?
Yes, hey, Cy, hey, Tim, how are you all today?
Doing
well,
great.
Thank you, Marcus.
What's on your mind, brother?
I wanted to call, and I hope that my question isn't too long or too ranty, but I want to say, first of all, thank you guys so much for all that you do. It's been very helpful to me the last few months. You have no idea. I just want to call and say that I'm a student at a Protestant seminary, and I became a Christian probably... I really started getting serious about being a Christian probably about 4 or 5 years ago. And so for the last 3 years, I've been at a Protestant seminary working through a lot of different theological issues and was hoping to go into teaching theology and being a professor someday. Okay. And about 6 to 8 months ago, I had been struggling through a lot of different issues, and I realized that my issue was, what is orthodoxy? What is it really? And so I started delving into the history of the church. I encountered the theology of St. Thomas Aquinas, and I sort of, like, the bottom fell out from under me in the best possible way, and I've been discerning Catholicism ever since.
Wow.
And to be honest, there's just, I had so much fear in my heart surrounding so many questions about the nature of God between progressive Christianity, Reformed theology, open theism, New Age, New Thought, all these issues were problematic for me.
Yes.
And so, like, when I came encounter with Catholicism and encountered the works of Stephen Ray and Pints with Aquinas with Matt Fraud. Tim, I have your book, Behold Your Mother.
Yes.
And it's helping me a lot. And so in the last couple of weeks, I think I've really just kind of said, okay, there's more than enough for me to make this leap of faith. So in the fall, I think I'm going to go through RCIA. And
wow.
So my question, I apologize for the long rant, guys. But I have been thinking these last couple of months, this will not hold me back from becoming Catholic. But I badly really wanted to go to school to teach theology to people that have a passion for wanting to help people with questions like me. Right. And I didn't know really what my options were. And also, probably a more personal note, my wife and I have been wrestling with how to go forward with the family and things like that. And my wife happens to be the most wonderful woman, but she's a Protestant and she's not thinking like I'm thinking on a lot of issues, which, you know, it's just more so, I guess, the issues that have concerned me are things she's never thought about. And I was just wondering maybe if you guys had some counsel or points where I might be able to turn to.
Sure. Have you been in contact with the Coming Home Network, Marcus Grody and company?
No, I haven't heard of it.
Okay. Well, check them out online. Marcus Grody is a dear friend of ours here at Catholic Answers. He's a former Presbyterian pastor who converted many years ago. He converted a little bit after I did. I want to say about 1990, as I recall. I came in 88. But he started a ministry to pastors like yourself, ministers, theologians, and such. And they do great work. So check them out online. Tell them I sent you. We send folks there all the time from Catholic Answers, and they really can help. But I've been right where you are, brother. I wasn't married at the time. I can't imagine how difficult that would have been. But I know when I had been a youth minister in an Assembly of God community, I went to Jimmy Swaggart Bible College, and like you, I started studying Catholicism basically to disprove it. And that's when I got into trouble, and I ended up seeing the truth. And so you're going to be. I'll tell you what I did. You're going to get help from Marcus Grody and those guys. They do a great job there with the Coming Home Network. Also, your local diocese, your pastor, talk to your priest and tell them your situation. Because often there will be connections even on the local level here, maybe that you're not even aware of, that can help you out as well. I know over the years I have helped many pastors into the Catholic faith, and I'm thinking of some of them right now where they went through some really rough times. But I will tell you what Father Vincent Serpa said to me many, many years ago. He used to be our priestly apologist here at Catholic Answers. And I was talking to a pastor who was really struggling with coming into the church. And I said, Father, I'm not sure what to do with this. I mean, this guy's in a rough spot. And Father Serpa looked at me and he said, Tim, the same Holy Spirit who has brought him to this place is the same Holy Spirit that will take him where he needs to go. And I have never forgotten that. And you never forget that, brother, that the same Holy Spirit who has opened your heart and your mind to see the beautiful truths of our Catholic faith is the same Holy Spirit that's going to take care of you and your wife. And we don't know what the future holds, but we know this. God holds the future, right? And it will be all right. You follow Jesus, my friend, and you cannot lose ultimately. And stay in touch with us as well. We've got, as you know, at Catholic.com, we have tens of thousands of pages of free information. We've got a boatload. I don't even know how many pages anymore. I've been saying tens of thousands for years. It's probably in the hundreds now, of pages of free information. And we're here for you as well at Catholic Answers.
Okay, Marcus?
Yes, God bless you. Signed, Tim. Thank you so much, because no matter what comes, I know God's got us. So,
amen, brother.
God bless y'all, and y'all have a wonderful day.
God bless
you. You too, Marcus. Thanks very, very much. I hope Marcus feels encouraged, because, I mean, I know of lots of Catholic theologians who started out in Protestant seminary.
Absolutely.
I mean, lots of them. Whether it was, I mean, one of my favorite Bible scholars is Michael Barber, and yes. I think he got his PhD at a Protestant university.
Fuller Theology. He was the first Catholic to ever get a PhD from Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena. Yeah. So you're going to find, Marcus, you'll find many connections through the Coming Home Network. And again, stay in touch with us as well, because we can get you in touch with some folks as well. So stay in touch with me, Tim Staples. I'm easy to find right here at Catholic Answers, and we want to keep tabs on you, brother.
Thanks again, Marcus. I really appreciated that call, and I hope you will call, and we'll talk again. I'm going to go to New York now. Brian in New York, listening on 91.9 FM. Brian, go ahead with your question for Tim.
Hey, hi, Tim. Thanks for taking my call. Of course, we're all aware of, you know, the leaked draft opinion that's likely to stand up in the Supreme Court, and just about, you know, some of the companies who have come out and said that they're going to fly employees across state lines, you know, to pro-abortion states to get their abortions and yada, yada. And,
right.
I guess just for getting me more, you know, thinking more and more about, you know, just like things that we purchase like on a daily basis, you know, to any company, or like even just a grocery store, you know, even your cell phone company or car insurance company, like all these companies that probably have ties to abortions, you know, making donations to Planned Parenthood and similar organizations. And I was just wondering like how to try to avoid them, you know, and navigate that if it's really possible, realistic, and if so, how to just, you know, do our best to go about that.
Yeah, it's a great question, Brian, and I'm grateful to God that I have a wife that's a real go-getter in this area, and she looks into this stuff and tells me, okay, Tim, we're not buying from these anymore, and this is why, right? Now, for the most part, this is something that's up to the individual Catholic to look into, because generally speaking, we're talking about material cooperation in evil that is remote enough that a Catholic could still, you know, go to a Kroger's, for example, if Kroger's were to implement a policy like that you're speaking. But that doesn't mean you have to go to Kroger's either. Yep. You know, it may be morally permissible to go. But this is, I am a strong believer, my friend, in boycotts and choosing. You know, I'm a member of Mammoth Nation. You know, it's a conservative group that points you to businesses that are conservative and support conservative causes and pro-life causes and things like that. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that on the air, but I did. So, but anyway.
Well, we can't hit the dump button now. I mean, you've gone on and on.
It's too late now. But so, you know, I recommend things like that. I think we should. Who is that fellow? I think the Baptist fellow that has the group. I can picture him, but I can't think of the name now. The like American Family Association or something, where they have a list of businesses, you know, that support abortion and that sort of thing. You know, there are various groups like that, Brian. And, you know, I'm in favor of it. Some people will say, oh, you know, that's ridiculous and you can't really. Well, you know what you can do? You can do the best you can do. And that's all God asks us to do. You know, we're not all required to investigate every single store we go to. But just in general, you better believe it, Si. It seems to me common sense in our culture that is so driven by capital. Hey, why don't we take a look at where we're putting our capital, right?
Yeah.
I got to say,
I felt that way when that thing came out that Amazon would pay $4,000 for employees to go to another state and get an abortion.
Right.
It just seems so cynical, because it also takes away the maternity leave and it takes away all the other things that the company would be on the hook for. And I'm not saying that that's their motive, but it sure looks like we'll give you $4,000 to
It's dark. Brother, I am in your corner. I say let's engage the culture. Let our voices be heard. And let's spend our money wisely.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks very much. Thank you, Tim Staples. I'm sorry about I am sorry about the lack of a case of Budweiser beer.
All right. Now, next Tuesday.
You're going to be here next Tuesday.
Yes.
Well, I didn't switch you and Jimmy. You and Jimmy switched together. All right.
All right, brother. God bless you, man.
You too. Thank you. Coming up, Mark Brumley. So if you're on the line, stay on the line. If you haven't dialed yet, there's going to be at least one line open. 888-318-7884. Open forum continues right after we do this on Catholic Answers Live.